Hilariously Melbourne. Choosing Fifi, Feb and Nick for your mornings is almost as easy as choosing the right electricity provider. Lumo has low electricity rates and is 100% Aussie owned. Join Lumo today.
Now, I want to talk about... Oh, let's go down memory lane, because everyone's talking about the show Squid Games. We've all watched it, loved it, although very graphic. And be very warned, this is not for children, even maybe teenagers.
I wasn't going to watch it. Lulu came out and said, Dad, watch Squid Game. It's the best.
Lulu's watched it.
Yeah, so we watched it together.
This song that's playing it now from Squid Games... Is that on a recorder? Can this be the new recorder song that you learn in primary school? No more hot cross buns? Can we get a bit of Squid Game? Switch it up.
107 million people have streamed this show on Netflix. Filmed in South Korea, a South Korean production. And essentially, in a nutshell, the synopsis is it's a human, I think the Olympics, but with childhood games that you played when you were a kid. And if you lose, you lose your life. So it's pretty hectic. But interesting thing about this, and we've seen you, Fev, you've been trying to do the honeycomb game at home.
Yeah, we made the honeycomb.
You made the honeycomb. Because a lot of the games on the series are probably traditional South Korean kid games. Because I noticed from the very first scene, it's a flashback to when some of the guys were younger playing these games in the schoolyard. And Squid Game was a game they played. And he was describing it, and I still don't understand it. And the whole time I'm going, why is it called Squid Game? And then they did an aerial shot, and apparently the shape, think hopscotch, but it was shaped like a squid, but it wasn't. It doesn't look like a squid.
Yeah, and also you watch shows by skipping 15 seconds ahead at a time, so who knows what you saw, what you missed. Games. Yeah.
Well, I do. I buzz through all the gory bits. That's unnecessary.
Oh, Bridgerton's turned weird. It's a new show you're watching. You just keep skipping ahead.
But let's have some fun here. We're going to open the phones, 13 10 60. You can call us anytime you like. Let's talk about Squid Game, because if we did an Australian version of Squid Games, which
Murder
I think there are companies that are trying to start these Squid Games for people to win cash but not lose their lives. What? Murder in the Dark, Feb, that was I used to love that. Yeah. You'd turn the light off at home, because you had to play it at home, didn't you? And then,
you turn on the footy club all the time.
So can I, Feb, my memory of it is you're all in a room, so you turn off the light when how did you make someone the murder? But when the lights turned on, someone was lying on the floor and you had to figure out who killed them. Is that right?
No, Murder in the Dark was just, that might be a version that you guys played. But we used to play, we'd be in like a gym at footy training, and we'd turn them all the parents would be off having their fun at the bar, and all the kids would go into this little like rec room. You turn it off and you just hide. So someone's in pitch black and they've got to try to find you.
Yeah, they're the murderer.
They're the murderer. And
that's then right.
Once they tag you, you're out, and then you've got to be there at the end and then you're the winner.
Yeah, good game. Yeah. Murder in the Great Dark. Game. I love that.
What was your game? Human Cluedo.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I just got confused.
Kiss Tracy's a good game?
Yes, Kiss Tracy. Well, we didn't play.
Duck Goose?
We didn't play that. What's Duck Duck Goose?
What? Sit in the circle. Duck, duck, duck. And then you hit goose. And the person's got to get up, chase you around the circle, and try and tag you before you get back to their spot.
Yeah. Never
and you
played
sit in
that.
Their spot.
Never played that. One that we did do, and I remember, I now know what my prep and grade one teacher was doing, because Mrs. Tinney, we had in prep, and then she came with us to year
primary
one.
Great school teacher name.
Mrs. I know, Mrs. Tinney was wonderful. But she used to get us to play Dead Sheep, and we loved it. So you'd lie, all the kids lie on the ground, and they're not allowed to move. And if you move, you're out of the game. And we loved that. But only now as an adult, I can see she just wanted some downtime. That's a brilliant thing to get kids to do. So you
Are
can
all
just
your
read
games just lie down?
No. Well, even in Squid Games, you know, red light, green light.
Yep.
We had that, but that was What's the Time, Mr. Wolf? So, you know, you stand at the tree and everyone goes back and you'd go, What's the time, Mr. Wolf? And I'd say, It's 6 o'clock, and they've got to take 6 steps. And then if I turn around and catch them while they're moving or they haven't made it to 6 steps, they're out.
Did you ever play front side, back side?
No, what's that?
So we used to put in a dollar, like there'd be 10 of us, and the first to get the 10 points by the end of the day wins the 10 bucks. So if you got someone on the back, on the bum, it'd be a dollar. And if you got them on the front, it'd be $2. It'd be 2 points.
What do you mean? How do you get them on the bum? What do you do with a ball?
No, like you got to get up and grab, like slap them, like the boys.
Used what?
To...
No,
never played that front side
back
side.
Certainly didn't. No.
Interesting.
Do you know what... almost all footy club games, I reckon, is just flick your mate in the genitals. It's just called different things.
Best game, front side back side.
I made up a game called Flower Power.
Oh wow! What is this? Well, you pick flowers and you're all winners. Beautiful angels. We're all
something
champions.
Like that.
Was that the Daisy? She loves.
Oh no,
me.
Making
she loves da- me not.
No, this was like a proper game, not. Like where you stood at a tree. This was at my grandma's backyard, and that was the tree you had to get to, and you were given certain powers. Like, I made it up with my cousins. It was great. I forgot what how it worked, but
that's not going to help.
I thought it was lost. I thought.
And
it was
then we all
game.
Ended up laying down and falling asleep.
13-10-60. If we had an Australian Squid Game, what are the games that we'd play? We want to hear. Let's reminisce. We've got Trung in Waverley. Hey, Trung.
Hey, how's it going? Happy lockdown eve, guys.
Yes!
End of lockdown eve.
Yes. How good is that, Trung? Tomorrow, what have you got planned?
Tomorrow, I'm going to go hang out with my mates because it's been way too long.
Now, what were you playing, Trung, in Waverley when you were growing up?
I used to play Foursquare.
Right.
You guys used to, Foursquare was a big one. And I forgot this game. It was called, ball tag, where you just piss the ball at someone and then they'd be tagged and then they'd have to go around and try to piff it at someone else.
It's Tiggy with a tennis ball.
Tiggy with a tennis
ball. Tiggy with a tennis ball. That was it. And then there was also the one where you played off the wall, war ball. I can't remember what it was called.
Down ball,
That's it, Bev. Yeah, that's
great
it, bro.
Game.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
it,
good game.
What a legend.
And Fifi, I've got to tell you, I don't think it was called Dead Sheep. It was called Dead Fish because we played it
dead
back
fish?
In the day. Yeah, Dead Fish, where we all just lied down on the gym and then he'd just run around and he'd just try to jump on your face and make you scared. But then you just have to like lie there and just like,
Do you know what's funny, Trug? I reckon there were different versions because we've also got Leroy in the studio and his school called it Dead Lions. Sleeping Lions. Just teachers' ways of having... They get to sit there and mark school reports while we would just lie there sleeping.
Hey, Boxy, another great game. I don't know if you guys used to do it, but God, I didn't. You were obviously doing schoolwork, but all the dum-dums like me, we used to build paper aeroplanes like during class.
Yeah.
And then we'd go out into the basketball court at like recess and lunchtime. We'd have paper aeroplane game where you see if your aeroplane can go the furthest.
Yeah, that's good.
Imagine playing
that
on Squid Game. Imagine the sweats trying to make it to see if it passes on.
But that's science, Fev. That's physics. You were doing physics there. You should give yourself more credit.
100%.
Jody in Rosebud. Hi, Jody.
Hi.
Jody, what is a great classic Aussie playground game?
So in primary school, I remember playing a game called Heads Down, Thumbs Up.
Yes. Jody, yes. I've forgotten it. What happened again?
So you'd all sit at your tables, put your head down, close your eyes and put your thumbs up, and then there'd be three or four people standing up the front of the classroom and they'd walk around and put a person's thumbs down, and then everyone would put their heads up and then you'd have to guess who put your thumbs down.
I don't remember that.
You've just got to guess who's giving you the tap.
Yeah, basically.
So if I've got my thumbs up, someone squeezes them, and I put my head up, and I've got Fev and Nick standing at the front of the room, and I go...
Well, you'd know if you didn't get a shock or not. If Nick grabbed you, you'd be like...
A concussion.
I used to love that game. I remember when the teacher would go, "We're going to play heads down, thumbs up." I got really excited.
Yes,
but now that you've explained what we did, it doesn't sound that exciting.
Yeah, it was before phones and stuff. There wasn't much going on.
Kate in Hoppers.
Hey,
Kate. What's a great game for Squid Games?
Well, we used to play this game. It was called 40-40. Yes.
40-40. I remember 40-40.
40-40 home free.
Yes, it was the best game, except I was really crap at it, and I used to hide behind these tiny trees, and I'd always get caught out first. But can I say, all these games that, like, people are saying that they play with teachers, I'm a teacher in a secondary school, and Year 12 students are still begging to play things like Dead Fish and Heads Down, Thumbs Up.
Yeah, they don't want to do work. Like,
yeah, and they play Foursquare at recess and lunch. Yeah. So these are still rocking. They're the best games ever.
I can relate to that, Boxy, because my kids come home and say, "Oh, this game's unbelievable. We made it up." And I'm like, "Mate, we were playing that 20 years ago."
See,
they think they reinvent it. They're like, "No."
I know, it comes down the generations. Yeah. That's what's lovely about it. But see, I didn't play 40-40 or down ball or any of these. But because I remember play recess and lunchtime, did you ever like make fairy houses in the logs and things like that? Like,
wow.
Did we make fairy houses?
You'd make fairy houses.
Mate, we're whipping people front and back. Like, we're not making fairy houses in logs.
Yeah, British Bulldogs.
British Bulldogs.
No, flower power fairy houses was where I was at.
Throw water bombs at the blackboard when the teacher's not looking, then they can't use chalk on there anymore. You're pretty much watching Shrek.
No, I'd go around with a teacher and they'd have a plastic bag and pick up all the rubbish and put the rubbish in.
I was sticking potatoes in the teacher's exhaust pipes. Mate.
Badging cars.
1019 The Fox.
After the show yesterday, Fee, you hung around and you were waiting for an appearance on the morning show.
Yes.
With Larry.
Larry. And Kylie wasn't in, so it was Sally.
Larry and Sally.
Yes.
And you were there to promote your kids' book.
Yes.
You can get now.
Minty May Gray and the Strangely Good Day. Thank you, Nick. Get it now for Christmas because we know that deliveries are taking their time. So get in early, all good bookstores.
Or you just be Leroy and just scab one off you.
Well, I just, Leroy, who's been in a wonderful job on the show, I just dedicated, I just wrote a little message to his niece, Bonnie, and he scored himself a book.
And took some cash off him as well. Nice
work. I didn't.
Took $12.
No, I didn't.
Hand out coins. He's going through the Astro in the car. Minty May Gray and the Strangely Good Day, Ripper Kids book, but you were there promoting it yesterday on the morning show, and Larry asked you this.
What are you going to do next? Like, because now that you're an author, a kids author, maybe you could be an adults author because the title is 50 Shades of Minty May Gray. Like, it's so easy. What are you going to do next?
Larry, you're right. That's a big leap, isn't it? I mean, I'd love to give an adult fiction a crack.
Wow.
He threw you there, didn't he?
Of course he did. That put me on the spot. Couch. I was like, what? Well, do you know where he was going with 50 Shades of Gray?
I know, it's a very odd question. You're promoting a kid's book.
It was my mental gymnastics for my mind to go from kid's book to saucy adult fiction.
Because we joked around the other week about Minty May Gray and the Mad Monday, which can be the one when Fev joins in for the next book.
Well, that would have been, I gave Boxy a challenge, Nick, again. Last time she was on the project, gave her a challenge to say a word. And I thought she could redeem herself, and I gave her a challenge to say the louche. Easy to get in. And as soon as he said 50 Shades of Macy Gray, he said, I could have left that up to the louche, who obviously I work with. Would have been a great opportunity to get that in there, but no, she let me down again.
I don't know.
That's zero from two.
You say let you down. Every time you set me a challenge to say something on live television, I consistently say to you, no, I do not accept the challenge, and you still get disappointed when I don't.
Well, that's
do
not
it.
Fun, because you used to set me challenges when I was on the footy show. And I used to do it, and then that show got the lemonade and sauce.
Yeah, and we were really trying, but we were trying to help the ratings by making people tune in to see you say these ridiculous
words.
And
I did say them.
Was that Fee all those years ago, Fev? Going, Fev, I need you to say pressure point.
1019, The Fox.
The day has arrived, Melbourne. The countdown is on, 11:59 tonight. You can run through the streets. You can do what you want. We are out of lockdown. And to celebrate, we have a very special guest. He's the prime minister, Australia's leader. He's here on the show, let's all say hello to ScoMo, the PM ScoMo. It's time for ScoMo, it's time for ScoMo, ScoMo. Prime Minister Scott Morrison, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. You did it, Melbourne. You did it, Victoria. 70.51% is the vaccination rate in Victoria today. And that is an awesome achievement. Thank you to everyone down there in Victoria. You guys have had the hardest road of anyone going through COVID.
In the world.
You've done it so tough. And so enjoy tonight. I was particularly pleased to see those scenes of people coming home to Victoria. That was Love Actually sort of stuff. I thought it was tremendous to see, and looking forward to seeing more of that in the days ahead.
It's so good that Melbourne is open, and from 11:59 tonight we can go out and about and see family, go to pubs, restaurant. Yep. Things are starting to open up.
Yep.
Big question, when can we go to Bali?
Well, you can actually go to Bali from the 1st of November, but you can come back into Australia. That would have to be without quarantine if you've double vaccinated into Sydney. But look, once you get into these higher rates of vaccination at 80%, which is where New South Wales is now, from the 1st of November, people are coming back into there without having to quarantine. But from the 1st of November, I announced a little while ago that Australians actually, if they're double vaccinated, can leave and return to Australia. So, and hopefully that will mean you'll be able to return to Melbourne soon as well. And, that will be being considered by the state government. But, when we open, we've done this the Australian way. I mean, we've had different challenges in Australia. We've saved over 30,000 lives, and that's been incredibly important. And so that's been necessary to do, obviously. But now people are getting their lives back because they've been able to do what the national plan required, and that was getting vaccinated. So people are just working together to get this done. And so enjoy 11:59.
Oh, we will, Prime Minister. And I think that is true. We should be so proud of ourselves, and we've all been there for each other, and Melbourne, we really should celebrate. And what I've noticed, though, Prime Minister, is you've got Mark McGowan. See, we'd like to go back. People would like to go and see their family in Perth.
Sure.
But he's still saying yesterday, he said no, he's keeping the borders closed to Victorians and people in New South Wales till before Christmas. Can we work on him? Is that a movable timeline?
Well, the key thing is to lift their vaccination rates. I mean, they're at 57.62%. Queensland's at 58.72%. Now, in order to be able to do what Victoria's doing right now, they need to get to those levels that Victoria's at, and indeed what New South Wales is at. So my focus is making sure that I can lift those vaccination rates in Western Australia and Queensland. There are 8,000 Queenslanders who are trying to get home to Queensland, just like we saw Victorians coming home yesterday. And we want to see that happen. That means you've got to get home quarantine in there. But Victoria and New South Wales are sort of moving together, and we've got to go ahead safely. So, I mean, yes, enjoy 11:59, but remember, we're going to open safely and stay safely open. That's the key. And because no one wants to go back, and we're not going back where we've been, because we're going to keep going forward. And no one will appreciate that, I think, any more than people in Melbourne, as I said, had the hardest road. And I should say, those who are on Commonwealth disaster payments, they continue. You've got to have to start reapplying for those, though, as well. Now you get through 70%. But that support is still there. We've provided billions of support into Melbourne over the course of this lockdown. And in fact, the support we've given for businesses per capita has been higher in Victoria than it was even in New South Wales.
Two-part question, ScoMo. You just mentioned then we won't go back, we might not go back. So do you think there will never be another lockdown?
Well, I certainly hope not. And at 70% rates, the national plan does still envisage that in particular communities or things like that. Remember, there are parts of the community, particularly for Indigenous Australians and communities like that, where we still have to be very careful. Not all of the state is obviously in every single community in the state is at 70% or at 80%. But, they'll still have to be careful in places like that. But the point is, once you hit 70 and particularly 80%, you've built up enough resilience and resistance in the community that you have options now that you didn't have before. And I mean, to get an idea of it, I mean, this has been a very hard lockdown in Victoria this time, as it was last year. But last year we saw, we saw hundreds of people, over 600 people pass away, particularly elderly people in aged care facilities. Now, that didn't happen this time because of the vaccines. And that just shows the difference that it makes. And so we can go forward confidently now because Victorians have rolled up their sleeves. They've kept their part of the deal. And so it's, incumbent on us as governments, together me and Dan, to ensure that we continue to then to reward that effort by ensuring people can reclaim what sadly they've not had for some time.
Now, Mr. Prime Minister, I've just updated my new iPhone and it's come up in my calendar 2 weeks before Christmas, December the 11th, that you're going to be calling an election. Is that right?
No, it's not. People have been gutted about this all year.
Know everything.
Yeah, the election's next year.
Are you sure it's not December the 11th? Your last show, give us an exclusive.
I have. There you go. Not this year, I can assure you.
Okay.
Now, Prime Minister, you're so busy, and I can't imagine you have much downtime, but yesterday Bill Shorten referred to politics, well, Australian politics, and compared it to the popular South Korean television show you may have heard of. 107 million people have watched Squid Games around the world.
I watched it in the last quarantine.
You did? You did watch it?
Yeah, well, it was my third quarantine. This was my fourth, I think.
Did you like it? Is it like Australian politics?
No, thankfully, no, I don't think it is. But I must admit, it was a bit confronting. I won't be letting my daughters watch it, I can assure you of that. And I don't think anyone else should either. But it was certainly a bit novel. It broke the mundanity of having to go through quarantine. But,
Now, 11:59, we're out. There's a lot of pubs going to be open in Melbourne, which is great. Trading will be back. What would be your order, Scott, for the first first pub meal?
Well, it had to be a VB in Victoria. What else could it be?
That's the meal.
And a palmy.
And a palmy, bang.
Yeah. Palmy.
That's what everyone will be having, a palmy and a pot.
That's it. Well, that would be mine, but I think there's a few haircuts that got to be had down there in Victoria. There's been a few home cuts that I think probably need some tidying up.
Yeah, we all need to be tidying up, that's for sure.
Stop staring at me, Faye. I'm going to haircut when I can get one.
That's what people did in Sydney. There was probably more people go to the hairdressers in some places than they were go to the barbers. But so anyway, that's just one of the many things. I tell you what it does, though. The things that we often take for granted. This has been a horrible time. It really has. It's just been awful. But I think on the other side of this, there'll be, you know, I think perhaps an appreciation of the things that really matter, which is always not a bad thing to be reminded of. And I think, you know, coming together at Christmas this year will be just a bit, it'll be sweeter. Mm. It'll mean, I think, a lot more to us this year. And that's a good thing. And to remind all of ourselves of the things that are most important, our families, our friends, the wonderful country in which we live. It's going to be a great summer. And I'm just looking forward to people just having this lifted off them and feeling positive and looking forward. And, you know, the retailers are going to be happy about that. Looking forward to the shops getting open down there in Vic. It's going to be a bumper Christmas trading. The small businesses have been doing it so tough. And they need to get those staff. And so, you know, those staff have not been able to go to work. Let's get back to work. Let's get this place humming again. And Australia's going to bounce back and Vic's going to bounce back.
We are. Right. We're so wrapped about this. The countdown's on till we're free. Prime Minister Scott Morrison, thank you for joining us.
Good
we'll speak
you
to you again soon.
Enjoy. Right. Cheers.
Melbourne's 101.9 The Fox.
The festive season is approaching, and one of my favourite parts, since I was a kid, has always been the advent calendar.
Oh, yeah. And you're a big chocolate fan.
I am a big chocolate fan.
Did they last?
Oh, no. Nah. But what makes it easy to last, because usually they're just, you get them at the supermarket for a few dollars, and it's really ordinary compound chocolate. Like, it's not nice, but you go,
gone in 2 days
chocolate.
With my kids. Gone.
And, what, in 2 days?
Oh, gone.
Well, this one might not be gone in your house if you're prepared to buy it because, don't get me wrong, I love the wonderful people at Hague's Chocolates. It's an Aussie-owned factory there in Adelaide. I've in fact been to the factory and gone inside. When I was on Sunrise, I went in and did a thing where I was in there. No, I was the entertainment editor. But I've been in there and it's a family-run business and, you know, big. We get behind Aussie-made products. Very expensive chocolate. And talk about expensive advent calendars. This advent calendar, it's a luxurious Christmas gift, and they are saying that.
That's it. They've set the bar already. I know this is going to be more than $20 if luxurious is in there.
$1,075 this advent box will
what
put
do
you
get?
Back. Okay, so the I must stress again, it's a luxury advent calendar.
Oh, no.
Inside, it's a handcrafted calendar for starters, so it's made by hand.
Can you eat it?
Specially curated handmade chocolate, including one-off Moorish creations. I love the more they put in words that they're just making up, Moorish creations.
I don't want it Moorish. I want to stretch it out over the month. You don't want to eat the $1,000 calendar in December 1st.
Chocolate handcrafted. The chocolates are, what did it say? Please note, chocolates are sold separately. Hang on a second. Do you have
batteries
to buy the chocolates to go in the advent calendar?
Put them in.
That's confusing to me because what does that mean?
Hang on. Eat the calendar?
I'm looking at a picture of it. It's just a beautiful box. Like, it's a beautifully handcrafted box. Yeah. But surely the box isn't $1,000 and then add your chocolates.
Have a dilemma. Do I buy that or just chuck it on race one, number one at Dapto?
I'm not a fan of your betting and your gambling, but I reckon that's worth it. Do that.
Thank you, Boxing.
Dapto, you've got permission. Yes. 101.9 The Fox. Fev, Nick, you're about to get a little bit smarter because it's time for...
Why doesn't Husey jump on with you, Fev, and you do your COD thing on your switches? BB
Talks Tech. tech talk.
You're known for it.
Thank you. Mark Zuckerberg, he's hinted at a big announcement that's going to happen at his, what does he call it, conference? He's got a conference next week, a big Facebook conference, and they think he's going to unveil what is going to be huge. Facebook is going to change its name.
Why?
Wow.
So what he wants to do, he wants Facebook to be known for more than just social media.
Well, yes, it's influenced elections. It's actually done a fair bit.
But that's it. So he thinks, so he wants to make it an online world where people can game, work, communicate in a virtual environment, not just thinking about connecting with your relos overseas and saying this is what we're up to.
What's the name? Have they released that?
This is what we don't know. So as of next week, I think next Tuesday, we may no longer have Facebook. It might be something else.
Life book, job book. It's got to be something book, doesn't it?
Probably not. I think that's what he's probably going to get away from.
Wow.
It'll be like, Rebrand. Jump on. Oh, if he's clever, you'd just make it Zuckerberg, wouldn't you? That's world domination.
Absolutely not.
I'm with you.
Way easier to spell than Zuckerberg.
You're right. But wouldn't your ego just go, I'd say,
Zuckerberg, Mark's 100%. Joint. I'm with you.
Because what he's also hinting at, apparently he's just hired 10,000 people from the EU, the European Union, to develop what he's calling a metaverse. So forget the universe. The metaverse is going to be a virtual space where you can create and explore with other people who aren't in the same physical space as you.
So it's called the internet.
We do that anyway. That's like Sims and stuff.
He's just changing names of things we've already got, pretending he's invented
them. Because my kids play a game like Roblox, and your kids, does Trixie play that? Roblox?
No, she's not into it, but I'm aware of Roblox.
But they all the kids play together in a virtual world, and they all dress each other up. That's the same. Would that be the same thing?
Well, Fev, you play COD in a virtual
world. I only play with four people, so this is like anyone, like I'm talking like Sims, where you can go play with other people and stuff.
You do Sims with other people. I used to do it by myself.
Did you?
Until I killed all
that
my people.
That says a lot.
Forgot to feed them.
Just building a panic room on Sims.
So we're going to have a metaverse where you'll be able to play, work, catch up with friends. I mean, I think he just wants us to, I think he loves lockdown. He just wants to shut ourselves in a room and live in a parallel metaverse.
Isn't it worth hundreds of billions of dollars? Don't you just leave it alone?
I agree. Can
we put that Atari music down a bit?
He didn't like that music.
Can't hear anything.
Here's my theory with billionaires.
All right, old man Fev. Keep your bloody Atari rattle down in there.
I think it's a bit stronger in my ears because I'm down the beach house having a holiday.
Do you... this is how I feel about billionaires. I reckon when they've got their billion, just go away. Like, honestly, hang up. You've clocked
you're done.
It. Like, it's like clocking something. So, Mark Zuckerberg, you did it. You got Facebook. You're a billionaire. Go and live in the Maldives. You're done.
Maybe that's what it is, though. Maybe his big press conference next week that the Atari music kicks off and he just moonwalks out and goes, I'm a billionaire. Better than all of you. See ya. Put that on Facebook.
Hilariously Melbourne. Fifi, Bev and Nick are powered by Lumo Energy. Join for the low electricity rates. Stay to win free electricity credits in the ultimate power draw. Join Australian-owned Lumo today. 101.